Welcome to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we're talking you through some worldly events coming up in the week that we think you should know about. If you're new here, please subscribe and do give your comments on the events we discuss in today's episode. We better begin, starting with the 30th of September 2024. It's going to turn to October in this week, ever closer to the end of the year. First up, Afshin, I've got an interesting meeting. Actually, the Lebanese Prime Minister Najib Mikati and the French Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot are meeting on Monday in Beirut. Now, obviously, the Lebanese Prime Minister is very concerned right now. His country is under attack. Pretty much an estimated 1 million people in Lebanon have been displaced. They're saying he even said a few hours ago, people are fleeing Beirut, the southern border areas. It's the largest displacement movement in the country's history. Obviously, today as well is an official 3-day mourning is commencing in Lebanon over the death of Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah. But it makes it all the more risky, doesn't it, that this meeting is happening in Beirut today with the French foreign minister of all people. We know two French nationals have been killed in these strikes by Israel, which started about a week ago, which is a contributing factor for the visit. But we know there's a conflict of interest because, of course, France has been sending 21 million euros worth of weapons parts to Israel each year, which may well be something that the Lebanese Prime Minister is going to bring up. Would you say, as France seems to be complicit in this new killing of the Lebanese people and the strikes on its own citizens?
Yeah, why? It's a bit like this new president of Iran, isn't it? Mass demonstrations will continue on Monday against the president of Iran, who seemed to have been trying to cozy up with U.S. media last week and believed the Biden administration's attempt to say don't retaliate for the Israeli assassination for the chief Palestinian negotiator over the genocide in Gaza. France, of course, the colonial power in Lebanon previously. I mean, it seems chaotic right now, partly, I think, because people don't realize this very much could be the Biden-Harris administration trying desperately to tie up all the loose ends, as it were, before Trump, who is an avowed Zionist and is backed by Sheldon Adelson's widow, Miriam, but he's somehow not as reliable a partner for genocide, the military-industrial complex might see. So why not take out all these different so-called official enemies and impose U.S. empire and colonialism on West Asia properly before Trump perhaps gets elected in November? Maybe that's the reason. As for, I mean, the media, this is the Japanese neo-fascist newspaper, the Financial Times. Israel steps up attacks on Iran proxies. Lebanon's not even in the headline. Apparently Yemen is an Iran proxy, so's Lebanon, so's Iraq. I mean, it's all Iran. It seems to me that the preparations are now in full flow for the war on Iran, and Iran doesn't seem to realize it. All their different generals and associates in the region have been killed and assassinated. Russia's Prime Minister Mishustin has arrived in Tehran in the past few hours on Monday. But hanging over all of this is this leader on par with Che Guevara in this region, and Nasrallah. I noticed one quote about Nasrallah as to what he thought of about death. He said, Westerners, Occidentalists, presumably he meant, should think of it like if you're in a sauna and it's really, really hot in a sauna and you want to get out, and outside the sauna there's beautiful classical music, a lovely cocktail, and it's much cooler. That's how we call death. That's actually what he said. I'm not sure who the interview was with. But, of course, lots of anecdotes now about the man that saved the world from ISIS, Daesh, and Al-Qaeda, backed by Britain, the European Union, and the United States, as he went to help the Assad and Russian forces against ISIS, Daesh, and Al-Qaeda. The big story of this week, I know we have to get on, is going to be, are the attacks going to be on NATO countries? Because what's the point of attacking Israel? There is no point in attacking US empire proxy like Israel. The retaliation arguably being discussed is against Western capitals. Biden, though, of course, is in trouble because Hurricane Helene has wiped out, what, has killed 100 people, so many different states, and is saying billions to Israel for the war on Lebanon, billions to Zelensky in Ukraine. No money for Americans in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Yeah, and that's where I think he's going to have a meeting on that hurricane today. Biden, of course, who's hailed the death of Nasrallah, saying it's a great thing that he's been killed. So perhaps something to do with the U.S. on that. And as we know, it seems to be they're attacking Lebanon, but it's really Iran that they want to get to, seems to be the case. But then that's interesting. It brings us to another thing on Monday that's worth noting. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is chairing a security cabinet session later in the evening in Tel Aviv, where I assume they're going to be discussing the next steps on what they're going to do. I mean, I think he's going to be somewhat celebrating, as at least some initial polls in his country show that his approval rating has slightly gone up with the Israeli public since the death of Nasrallah, which is not going to make him want to slow down on this kind of killing spree that we're seeing by Israel and his friends. But he's increasingly unpopular on the global stage. We saw him speak to the UN General Assembly last week, which we'd predicted he would. I think half of the people there walked out as he came onto the stage. He's been criticized heavily for what he said. He's shown no signs of ending these attacks on Palestine, Lebanon, and now Yemen, and perhaps Iran. Seems to be unwaveringly self-righteous on what Israel is doing. He said Israel has the most moral army in the world. So he's either lying through his teeth, or he's strongly convinced of the morality of what he's doing.
He's massively supported, in fairness, by the European Union leaders, Germany, other European countries, the United States, obviously, and Britain, where the leading contender to be the next Tory leader set a Star of David at every port in Britain to show affection and its absolute support for Israel. Blinken has been tweeting about Baba Yar, the terrible massacre of Jews. And, of course, Zelensky has been putting up statues to those who were responsible for the mass killing of Jews at the Baba Yar massacre in 1941. Blinken has been supporting both the Jews of Israel, i.e. the Zionists, who, as you say, massively support Netanyahu completely for what he's done in Lebanon, expanding the war, the massive killing in Hodeidah port, the poorest country in the world, let alone West Asia, where they've knocked out the energy facilities. So clearly, it doesn't matter if you're pro those who mass murder Jews, as per the Baba Yar massacre, or you're a Zionist. Those things totally entwined. But the most dangerous place in the world to be a Jew is Israel.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, Israel certainly still has friends, as we've seen, but increasingly less so, and increasing pressure we're seeing. We know this cabinet session that's going to be happening on Monday. Obviously, it's going to be with Foreign Minister Israel Gatz, Justice Minister Yariv Lenin, and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, which, as we pointed out last week, is apparently being fired and replaced with this Gideon Saar, but nothing official on that. We know that he's denounced some decisions made by this security cabinet, although Gallant has come out in the past few hours saying no place is too far for Israel to reach. Quite threatening rhetoric with that.
Is it really Israel, really? Is it not really Bill Burns of the CIA? Is it not the US Air Force, the planes of which were outside just on the coast, turning the transponders on and off ahead of the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah? This is the Americans. And I think Israel doesn't really have any power in any of this. They're just ordered what to do by the Americans. And in NATO propaganda media, it's presented as Biden, they want a de-escalation. And no, it's the Americans driving it, the American security state. Lockheed Martin profits massively up. This is the American plan backed with the puppet states of Western Europe.
Yeah, so, well, there's certainly an intertwining there, but I'm sure these Israeli officials do mean it when they say that these are the things that they want to carry out, and mean it when they believe they are on the right side of justice. But just quickly, on Monday, just want to mention that Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin is meeting with the new Iranian Masoud Pezeshkian in Tehran. On Monday, this is, we're getting a lot of reports in the media that Iran has been sending ballistic missiles to Russia. We're hearing that Iran is in talks to send Russian missiles or the P-100 Onyx to Yemen, which would allow accurate strikes on these commercial vessels in the Red Sea, which would, of course, threaten the U.S. and its European warships, which are at risk. So don't know whether that's something they could be discussing on Monday or whether you think that's nonsense, Afshin, I don't know, but they're going to be meeting in Tehran.
Well, there's something related to it for Tuesday. If we go on to Tuesday, should we go to Tuesday?
Oh, I'm ready for Tuesday.
Whoa.
We better move on. So this.
Why I said, yeah, subscribe.
Yeah, well, this is Tuesday, 1st of October, so the first day of the month, 2 months to go before we get to the end of the year. What were you going to say for Tuesday?
I think I got it wrong again. The Warsaw Security Forum in Warsaw, because, you know, as Julian Assange for the first time addresses the Council of Europe, which will be a big day, I think it's the anniversary of the creation of WikiLeaks, this Warsaw Security Forum, what a cavalcade. You might want to tell us who's there. Now that the American proxy Israel has been engaged in mass assassination of different leaders, whether it be Palestinian negotiator Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran or Nasrallah in Beirut, it's open season now, isn't it? Whether these powers that see the United States as malevolent now realize it's important to use assassination as a weapon. I mean, assassination. Is it a weapon? They killed Che Guevara. Did they really kill the ideas of Che Guevara? I think clearly asymmetric warfare would mean, and maybe you're going to tell me who's going to be at the Warsaw Security Forum, all those names look to me to be targets. And Israel has been absolutely amazing, together with the United States, at being able to pinpoint and use espionage to completely infiltrate these Palestinian axis of resistance movements. Who's going to be at Warsaw Security Forum and who will be the targets?
Yeah, well, what is interesting here, obviously, so this is a forum going on Tuesday until Wednesday for anyone who might want to attend. Annual security conference, of course, happens every year. There's going to be a few European leaders and officials speaking here, but we're going to see representatives from Poland, Georgia, Ukraine, the UK, Sweden, Norway. It's going to be a former CIA director general going there. And representatives...
Petraeus, the disgraced guy
who
had an affair and gave secrets, pillow secrets.
That's right.
Kordakovsky, the corrupt Russian businessman.
Well, this is it. So we're going to be getting representatives from Russia. But as you say, before anyone gets too excited, if you look at the names, we've got former Prime Minister Mikhail Kashinov, who's been accused by Russia as a foreign agent.
Wanted in Russia. They're criminals.
Yeah, we've got opposition activist Garry Kasparov, anti-war committee co-founder Mikhail Kordakovsky. So these are very much pro-Ukrainian figures going to this forum. It's also worth pointing out, actually, this is happening on International Day of Nonviolence, the Security Forum, which is celebrated annually on Mahatma Gandhi's birthday, who died in 1945, was it 1948? So that's all quite ironic. But yeah, interesting, this forum... the people they're inviting are certainly telling of what this kind of forum is going to be. You mentioned as well the Julian Assange hearing, which is quite interesting. Not really heard it be spoken about massively. Obviously, this is going to be the first time Assange has spoken publicly since he came out of prison back in June. This is the hearing in Strasbourg at the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe's Committee on Legal Affairs and Human Rights. It's going to be streamed on the Assembly's YouTube channel if you want to watch it at 8:30 a.m. UK time, I think it's going to be. And this is going to be a hearing regarding his conviction and detention in London's prison and their effects on human rights. And there's going to be a debate and a vote on the following day on Wednesday. So there's basically been a draft resolution that was based on a report where the committee has expressed the concern over Assange's harsh treatment, they call it, in London's prison. They've called for an investigation into the alleged war crimes exposed by WikiLeaks. And they say, according to the 2012 Assembly resolution, that Julian Assange was classed as a political prisoner. So that's pretty significant, isn't it, that this is happening? And it's going to be very interesting for people to see him for the first time, as I say, in public, for actually many years we'll be hearing him speak.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be very, very important. And I think, you know, it's kind of neat that it's on the anniversary of the British Nazi Pact, the Munich Agreement, because as he's speaking, as you said, the Warsaw
Security Forum
will be going. And these are all targets now. I mean, if you think the British Armed Forces Minister Luke Pollard, Defence Minister Vernon Kroker, Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Ola Stefanchuk, Polish Defence Minister Kyrgyz, I mean, all these names. I mean, the security is going to have to be immense. Or if they're not killed as a result of the events in the Middle East, it'll continue to be Yemeni, Lebanese, Iraqi resistance forces just pouring in missiles, attacking Israel for no real effect. Obviously, it has an effect on the occupying Jews in Galilee in the north of Israel, but it doesn't really affect the bigger picture. I mean, this is the bigger picture. This is the Dubai newspaper, Gulf News. This is what everyone is talking about. And I presume Julian Assange will also be talking about it. If you look at WikiLeaks' ex-Twitter account, I don't mean ex-Twitter account, the Twitter account, the X account, you know, it's full of facts about the context of the genocide that is occurring in this region. Will they use assassination? Do all these resistance movements who say they're on the side of Palestine have the espionage networks that say Carlos the Jackal once had, who's, of course, imprisoned in Paris, who took this on to a world stage and used assassination techniques and fought like with like. Israel has done it, pager bombs, mass civilian killing. This, you would expect, will beget other killing, even if it is the day of nonviolence. France, though, of course, which holds Carlos the Jackal, who supported the Palestinian cause, is just going to be rocked by massive strikes right across
Assange is going to be.
Yeah,
for all over France, there's going to be these strikes over the appointment of the new prime minister, Michel Barnier, instead of the new Popular Front leader. Obviously, the new Popular Front was very much considered to be the winner of the French elections that have just taken place. So,
I mean, the whole of Western Europe is
about injustice.
An inflection point because of their self-sanctioning over Ukraine. They're all in big trouble, still pouring in the weapons and support for genocide in West Asia. It's not looking good for these NATO countries, no matter how much they may celebrate the martyrdom of Hassan Nasrallah. Blinken, though, India they still have in the pocket, though, don't they? Because India, Modi is a big ally of Israel, and Blinken, of course, will love to be with Jai Shankar, the Indian foreign minister, in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday.
Yeah, and just before we move on, I just want to very quickly mention on CBS, if you're going to be watching in the United States, you're going to find the U.S. vice presidential debate between Trump's Ohio Senator J.D. Vance and Harris's Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. I think official polls showing Vance is currently lagging behind a bit against Walz. Both kind of not hugely popular, though, I've got to say. I think
you're a Vance fan. I thought you loved Hillbilly Elegy. I thought you thought that was a great film.
So it's a good book. It's a good film if you want to see how he started up, but still quite a controversial character. He's been, you know, telling a few stories people aren't happy about. Some of his comments he comes out with aren't very popular, very much like his boss. Alienating a few people on various comments. I don't know. It doesn't offend me. Various racist comments and stories he's coming out with and the like. I think he said in an interview that he's happy to create stories for this campaign to get people watching. So whether that was in jest or not, I don't know. But I'm sure that's riled some people up. We do know Walls as well has been embroiled in this COVID fraud controversy where 20 people have already pleaded guilty or been convicted over a huge fraud scheme in the United States regarding two federally funded nutrition programs in Minnesota, and Waltz has very much been blamed for this as has happened on his watch. So both two are slightly tricky candidates, but this debate may be a deciding factor.
Completely in the pay. J.D. Vance, a hedge funder, Waltz, both of them completely in the pay of the controlling interests of corporations, the arms companies and all the rest of it. And of course, AIPAC, they're both basically, they're not American, are they? Waltz and Vance are foreign agents of the Israeli government, is what the critics would say, because okay. Israel is running the election campaign. They don't care about the American people or the people suffering from the Hurricane Helene, let alone the mass poverty where 40 million can't eat. Tonight in the United States without federal aid.
Yeah, well, people can make up their minds on what they think when they watch this debate. Also happening, of course, on the 100th birthday of the 39th U.S. President Jimmy Carter, as it happens. Maybe he'll be watching. He's been in hospice care since, actually, the Russian invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. He's got a legacy, which you can Google. He obviously oversaw the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt, fought against the Soviets in Afghanistan and such.
Jimmy Carter backed what would become ISIS-Daesh and would become Al-Qaeda that would cause 9/11. Jimmy Carter might as well was a sort of honorary member of Al-Qaeda for helping the Mujahideen in Afghanistan.
And that's his legacy. So
that's my legacy, destroying the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly links back to that. We better move to Wednesday then.
Over the second, subscribe.
October, yes. Now, clearly avoiding the protest strikes in his own country, Macron is fleeing to Berlin, talking to Chancellor Olaf Scholz over there. He's going to be speaking at the second Berlin Global Dialogue. These two, though, as I think you've mentioned in previous weeks, Afshin, they are arguably rather weak European leaders right now, pretty unpopular. I know that there was a poll conducted just this month, actually, on the popularity of European leaders. I think Scholz was at the lowest in Western Europe. Macron was certainly up there as well. There certainly seems to be a sense with people in Europe that the world is in a bad shape right now and no one really knows how to fix it. Certainly no Western European leaders, many of whom are either fighting for their political lives or they're, you know, in two, even three-way coalitions, as in Germany. Is that why you think they're so unpopular? Why are they?
They've destroyed their countries on the altar of the Washington proxy war, supporting the people who committed Babi Yar, who celebrate the memory of Babi Yar, the massacre of Jews. So, of course, they're not popular in their own countries. But it will be interesting to see the impact of, as I say, the terror atrocities of the U.S. proxy Israel in this region on Europe when their leaders start to get assassinated. How is it going to affect Western Europe and European Union and Britain when there are terror explosions in London, Paris, Berlin? Is it going to be even more extreme? Are they going to pour even more weapons into Israel, into the proxy? And are they going to bomb Britain, of course, and France have been bombing Syria and Yemen and Iraq lately. They've obviously been supplying intelligence for attacks on Iran. Will Britain and European Union NATO members go further into the Middle East as a reaction as the bombs explode in Western cities. It's open to question. Lebanon, there will be official mourning for Nasrallah's for the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah. How will they mourn if there's a ground invasion by American, British, EU-backed military troops coming from the south into Lebanon? How will they mourn their hero?
Yeah, and with this meeting happening on Wednesday, we can link that back to the French foreign minister who's in Beirut on Monday. So maybe there's going to be a passing of information there on what happens, and it will be discussed with Scholz and Berlin on Wednesday, on the final day of mourning of Nasrallah, as you say, on Wednesday in Lebanon. But I just quickly add as well that on Wednesday, I think it's been confirmed.
Wednesday is, yeah, that's the final day of mourning.
Three-day mourning.
Lebanon is.
Yeah. Yeah, final day of official mourning. But yes, on Wednesday, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer is going to be meeting European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen on Wednesday to focus on resetting the UK-EU relationship. Starmer is not hugely popular either with the British public.
He's a corrupt man. Sir Keir Starmer, who persecuted Corbyn, persecuted Julian Assange, he's a corrupt man. Isn't he? According to the British press, he basically doesn't have any clothes, and all his clothes are bought for him by multimillionaires.
Yeah,
no previous Labour leader, not since Harold Wilson's raincoat. But this is a way different scale, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly been a different scandal as regards him taking donations and a lot of free things, which many politicians do.
No politician gets millions. How many millions has Sir Keir Starmer taken? And, of course, he attacked Boris Johnson infamously all the time. Boris Johnson suits, as far as I know, and a lot can be said about Boris Johnson. Istanbul, but... you know, even Boris Johnson, as far as I knew, used to buy his own suits, didn't he?
I mean, it's certainly not unusual for a politician, but it has been largely criticised in the UK. And as you say, the fact that if you've criticised other people for doing it, then you've kind of got to make yourself whiter than white and squeaky clean by the point that you come into power and not be doing the same things you've
done. Zionist American stooge is what Keir Starmer's... and he's not popular. Of course, he was only elected with 18, 19, 20% of the electorate of the vote. And how is Ursula von der Leyen going to be meeting this lickspittle of Washington, as he's being called, when Ursula von der Leyen is also meeting the Georgian President Salome Zurabichvili in Brussels? And Georgia, of course, is a country that the EU has been trying to destabilize over the past few months.
Yeah, and I think that the question as well, that going back to Starmer, is what is his plan with the EU going to be? Because I think he's being criticised for trying to kind of worm his way back into the EU, with Brexiteers criticising him. He's insisting that's not what he's doing. He just wants to, you know, get a bit of a closer partnership with them, which is against what the British people had voted for. Had this be what he's trying to do, and maybe he's not being completely honest about
it. Does it matter if Russia fires a hypersonic missile at London, which has been actively talked about by Russian commentators and politicians because of Britain trying to create the circumstances in which Storm Shadow missiles could attack deep into Russia? I'm not sure that even the Brexit debate, the EU debate, the poverty in Britain, and his unpopularity and his corruption is that important if Britain is now targeted not only by Russia in retaliation for its role in the proxy war on Russia through Ukraine, but also targeted by Axis of Resistance elements for Britain's support through the Akrotiri base in its occupation of Cyprus for enabling the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah in Lebanon.
Yeah, well, that's very much hope.
Very much in the sights of a possible terror attack. I mean, presumably there will be those who wish for very targeted strikes and not the kind of Israeli bombing we've seen of Lebanon on Britain.
Yeah, well, we of course have to hope that doesn't happen. And Britain, again, very much sees itself on the right side of justice. We better jump to Thursday, 3rd of October.
Iraqi Independence Day. Subscribe. Iraqi Independence Day from the British. Subscribe.
I was going to mention. I was going to mention it is Germany again, actually, on Thursday, German Day of Unity, National Day and Public Holiday, commemorating the anniversary of the German reunification between the East and West in 1990. Obviously, that was the first time Germany was a single state since 1945, when it was split up, obviously, between the US and the Soviet Union, as was Berlin, of course, signifying the end of the Cold War. I think it was formally completed, this reunification, on October the 3rd, 1990, although it said the day could have been celebrated on the 9th of November, 1989, when the Berlin Wall officially came down, which obviously was a big event. But do you think Germany is going to be a celebratory mood on Thursday with everything we've just been talking about?
Well, probably, you know, not. It wasn't even the end of the Cold War, was it? The German Day of Unity. And there was no such thing as the Cold War. These are the lies of NATO historians. The Cold War was not cold for millions killed, wounded, or displaced by the proxies of the United States across Latin and Central America, in all across the continent of Africa, let alone in Southeast Asia. Clement Attlee, the Labour leader, there he was in the Malaya emergency, mass murdering people in Southeast Asia to take the rubber so he could fund his National Health Service in Britain. There was no Cold War. It was a hot war for most people on Earth. And Germany, as we can see in recent regional elections, is moving towards détente with Russia, albeit with parties associated with xenophobia and hatred of all the immigrants and refugees from those Cold War wars, the legacy of the Cold War wars, the legacy of NATO policy. It's a horrific situation for Germany, this German Day of Unity. But we have seen nothing from, and notice all the terror from Al-Qaeda groups, ISIS groups, all as if proving that they were all CIA cutouts. There's no terror attacks in Western Europe in solidarity with what Israel is doing in Palestine, because they never really were Muslim terrorists, were they? They were cutouts of Western imperialism, sometimes blowing back to Western European capitals, because chaos is good for Washington. It helps arms company profits and stops movements from being able to coalesce against their elites. So, you know, it's a bad day for Germany. This German Day of Unity, we await and see if there's any resistance attacks on Berlin, because that would be quite a day to do it on. But Iraq Independence Day, we will expect Iraqi mobilization unit attacks on Israeli interests, on American interests, on the American embassy in Baghdad, on the occupation troops in Deir ez-Zor in Syria. And we may see resistance attacks in honor of Iraq's Independence Day from the British against British consulates around the world. Who knows?
Yeah, always these Independence Days seem to be Independence Days from Britain. Quite noteworthy whenever we bring them up.
You're just so proud, aren't you?
That's not true. No, on Thursday, jumping to Brazil, actually, and the environment. Now, G20 climate and environment ministers are going to be meeting in Rio de Janeiro on Thursday. Brazil, where there's been severe droughts over the last couple of years, the largest river in the world, the Amazon River, is plunged to record low levels, officials are telling us, since 1950, when these records began. Second year of extreme drought, with around 60% of the country affected. So I expect this is something the ministers there are going to be talking about. But this is just a couple of months before COP29, which is going to be in Baku in Azerbaijan, a former Soviet nation, a country allied with Russia currently. So that's going to be interesting, isn't it? COP29, which was previously held in the UAE, COP28, which is a good event for many. But I wonder if there's going to be any boycotts for this upcoming COP29 with a Russian ally, with the state of the global affairs right now.
Where's Greta Thunberg? Yeah. She's protesting Palestine, but she's out. She's not allowed anywhere near anything.
Yeah.
clearly the climate is not a concern now, which is terrible for Western European countries that have deindustrialized for the decarbonized future that was being pushed on them by people like John Kerry now wanting to censor the press. And what was that other guy's name? Clinton's man who wrote An Inconvenient Truth. The United States military is pouring out fossil fuels. Does anyone care about the environment as Britain, the European Union, and the United States pours weaponry to Israel to completely defoliate Yemen, Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, and presumably by Thursday, maybe Iran, let alone what it did in Libya, let alone all the fossil fuels for the U.S. fleets that are now in the Eastern Mediterranean by Thursday, the 3rd of October, let alone during the next COP in Baku. Of course, they're trying to propagandize against Azerbaijan deliberately because they want to destabilize the Azerbaijan government because it opposes the people with the fascist patches in Ukraine. No one cares about the environment. It was all a lie that was being used by Western elites to promote different companies and vested interests of corporations at the expense of not only the environment, but the peoples of Western Europe. So very dangerous times if you consider that most climate scientists believe that it's too late, is it?
Isn't the temperature? Yeah. Yeah, well, many in the world.
It was colder. Didn't a recent graph show the world has been is colder than it has ever been?
I don't think that was quite it. There's certainly some fudgy data.
It was definitely hotter before. Roll on the next.
I think it's the overall through a longer span of time is hotter rather as opposed to like specific.
Subscribe. Anyone watching, do ask the Pentagon or email your MP or MEP or senator or congressman and ask them how much does the US military pollute and contribute to climate change emissions? And I think you'll get the answer.
Okay. I mean, we did mention the factor of the military in causing climate change on last week's episode. You can subscribe and watch that. I think it's around 5%, so certainly significant, but there are, of course, other factors which also do contribute to climate change, at least according to much of the scientific data.
And the emissions caused by the burning of children's bodies by British weapons and EU weaponry and American weaponry in Gaza. Obviously, they don't think about that, do they?
Okay, we better jump to Friday though, 4th of October. Now we've got another case against Meta, aka Facebook. On Friday, seems to be one every week with Meta or Google. Now, this time, it's the European Court of Justice handing down a judgment in a case between Max Schrems, who is an Austrian lawyer, and Meta Platforms in Ireland over allegedly processing his data unlawfully. So he sued Meta for these alleged breaches of the EU's privacy law, and it's to do with advertisement directed at him in which they used his personal data to be advertising certain things to him. I imagine Meta will lose, won't it? Seems everyone's picking on Meta or Google at the moment, but clearly shows perhaps they're doing something wrong.
Their CIA cutouts deliberately now as arms of the state used to censor information from the American public in the run-up to the election about the Gaza genocide, about the U.S.'s involvement in the mass killings in Yemen and of course, Lebanon by that time, and perhaps the war on Iran. They will be crucial. Google, Zuckerberg of Facebook, Meta will be used to censor information in the war that is to come. They are arms of the state. They're basically welfare queens, as they're called. They were subsidized by the years of the post-1945 U.S. generation to pay into telephones and telecommunication systems, which are the infrastructure in which they make all the profits and cream them off and have billions. How many billions does Meta of Zuckerberg have? Didn't Zuckerberg steal his idea anyway? Did you see that film? From someone else who wanted to create
a social network.
It doesn't really matter. They're basically fake entrepreneurial companies, because they're run really by adjuncts of the military-industrial complex, and they're in full gear right now to generate the kinds of news and mass brainwashing of NATO publics to not understand the world they live in, not understand the reasons for hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian men, women, and children, mostly young men, who will be killed this week as Russia forces forward against dictator Zelensky's troops.
Okay. Well, just jumping quickly, a joke summit on Monday that Macron is hosting.
Monday?
Francophonie Council Summit, where heads of state from
France... Monday? You mean Friday?
Friday. Did I say Monday?
Yeah.
Friday. that was the joke. Friday, the Francophonie Council Summit, where heads of state from French-speaking countries are going to be there. This finishes on Saturday. There's going to be 88 states and governments said to be going, including Canada, Belgium, Niger, Haiti, and Laos. So you've got the rich countries and the poor countries going as well. Don't know if they can really take Macron seriously on everything that we've discussed today, but they maybe you might rather go to the Global GlobeSec Tatra Summit in Slovakia, which is coinciding with this event. That's meant to be an annual conference on the most pressing European political, economic, and financial issues. Well, that's going on until Sunday. I think Olaf Scholz and Donald Tusk have previously gone to this event. Various officials are going to be there. No one hugely well-known, I don't think, is currently going to this one. But people are going to have to choose between these events, the Francophonie Council Summit or the GlobeSec Tatra Summit. Which one would you choose?
Well, I think Macron is more concerned with trying to kill and assassinate the Burkina Faso leader. There was another assassination attempt to France. Their secret services actively, rather like the Israelis killing Hassan Nasrallah, the French are also in the assassination business, trying to kill Sahel leaders who are desperate to try and get real sovereignty and independence in West Africa. And I think, you know, Friday is also the 1993 anniversary, the Mogadishu battle, Battle of Mogadishu in Somalia. 18 U.S. Special Forces at least were murdered in 1993 by forces in Somalia. It's going to be interesting, you know, because the speed of events in West Asia mean that even by Friday, perhaps the body bags of U.S. servicemen will be coming back. Certainly, if the war is launched on Iran this week, can things go that quickly? Are things going to move that quickly?
We'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens next.
It's an incredibly dangerous time,
yeah,
for all of us. And in a sense, NATO nation media is just waiting on their instructions of how to cover the world and cover the news and cover the news of this week and the forecast news of this week. They don't really know what they're up against now. No. Is there going to be a response, or is the axis of resistance defeated? And actually, Iran is going to capitulate and say, look, your Netanyahu, probably the most brilliant Israeli commander, has succeeded.
Well, certainly remains to be seen what's going to happen. But if we make it to the weekend, we better get to it. If it happens, Saturday the 5th of October, subscribe. Donald Trump, who people have been trying to assassinate, he better be on the lookout, as he's going to be back in Butler, Pennsylvania, holding a rally. The last time he did that, he was shot back in July the 13th. He, of course, met with Zelensky last week. Trump did in the end. We didn't know if he was going to. He did. Recently called Kamala Harris mentally impaired. Do you think he's going to be safe this time round?
I mean, clearly there are forces in the deep state that are trying to kill him. He says it's Iran. He's basically Trump, who's bankrolled completely. Because does Trump have any money? Like, do we have?
Well, not anymore with all of his trials.
Miriam Adelson, the widow of a casino Zionist casino owner, who basically tells Trump what to think, and said, oh, it was Iran that tried to kill him in Butler, Pennsylvania last time. I mean, you know, clear that either way, Trump is desperately trying to say, look, when I'm president, we will bomb Iran. We will continue the Zionism. We will continue helping the weapons companies and war. Is it good enough? Is he seen as stable a choice as Kamala Holocaust Harris, who is quite willing to go with anything the so-called deep state tells her to do? Trump said he wants to release the JFK papers. I mean, Harris, you wouldn't expect that from Holocaust Harris and the Democrats.
We said last week Trump said he would release his papers. He didn't when he was in power because he ultimately said he couldn't. And with Iran, he has said those things. But he also has had some gentler rhetoric that has come out within the last few weeks saying he would be looking for some kind of diplomacy towards Iran. But it kind of depends on the day. So you're right. It's the question of stability with him and knowing what we would get once he comes to power.
I mean, Millie, if you were the head of the CIA, would you trust Trump to do what you told him to?
No, I wouldn't. So then you'd kill him.
So then you'd kill him, wouldn't you? Then you'd kill him, Millie.
Okay, well,
I mean, the idea that that's what Western democracies are like and the United States are like, a complete mafia state where the president has to do what these hidden forces tell him to do, otherwise he will be assassinated.
Well, of course, we don't know.
Doesn't it, Millie? I mean, yeah. That all seems a bit mad. But
yeah, and we don't. We obviously have no evidence. It's coming from inside the U.S. government.
The last shooter at the golf course was a member of the CIA cutout Ukraine squad, wasn't he? What was his name?
Just because you remember Ryan Ruth, right? That one, the latest one.
You should have three names. Like Lee Harvey Oswald.
But just because you're a member of an organization doesn't mean you're anything.
He literally was a member of a CIA cutout, and there he was at the golf course trying to kill him. What about the other one? Wasn't there connections from the other one as well?
Yeah, but connections doesn't necessarily equal an inside job, is what I'm saying. There's no evidence that just because he's come from somewhere where he obviously felt very passionately about Ukraine. That doesn't mean it's come from the government. That's all I'm saying. You've got to wait for evidence before you say those things. It's not that it's not true, but we don't know for sure.
How they got away with the previous assassinations.
We don't know is the truth, but we pray for Trump on Saturday.
You don't think Biden and Harris were involved in the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah?
I have no idea because I have not seen any evidence, hard facts to suggest it. And I think until you get hard facts, you can't make
get a pass and go to the CIA headquarters in Langley and then get the information and then do forecast news from there. Then you'll have all the evidence you'll be able to tell me. Unless you're in there, how are you going to get this hard and fast evidence? Don't ever believe anything until it's officially denied.
Don't believe anything for sure until you've got hard evidence. And that goes both ways. That goes for any instance around the world. I mean, you'd say with the Salisbury poisonings in the UK, when people were saying it was Russia, well, there's no evidence it was Russia. The same here. If there's no evidence anything came from the US government, you can't outright claim. Of course, you can question and you can challenge, but you can't outright make the statements for sure.
You definitely believe 9/11 was a Jewish conspiracy, then.
What do you want to take away from that?
This is the kind of dangerous situation we now live in, and it's up to Trump to continually say war on Iran, otherwise he'll be killed.
Yeah,
like Harris by the Israeli lobby, as it's called, but it's kind of circular.
Okay. Well, we pray for him on Saturday, nevertheless, unless you're on the inside job, Afshin. I don't know for sure. We better jump to a Sunday.
No, things are definitely going to be bad with Holocaust Harris. Things might not be as bad with Trump, but either way.
Not great.
Are they both going to be alive by November, given the kind of assassinations they've been sponsoring and the blowback that comes from doing that kind of thing? Usually things like that blow back on the United States, don't they?
Yeah. Well, very quickly, Sunday the 6th of October.
Sunday the 6th, subscribe.
Yeah, better quickly finish. Tunisia presidential election on Sunday. Tunisia, North African country, pretty poor country as well. The incumbent president, Kais Saied, has been in power since 2019. This is said to be the first undemocratic election in 14 years. Apparently, the military has had a growing role in politics since he's been in power. There was a power grab in 2021 by him where he suspended the parliament, took executive control of the country, dismissed the prime minister, and cited emergency powers were granted to him by the constitution. Human rights abuses are constantly being monitored there, as we know they are in many countries, or whether you want to believe that or not, that's down to yourself. But what's going on here in Tunisia? It's odd. Are they a US proxy in Tunisia? We know they don't have relations with Israel officially. Is this a genuine coup or not?
Tunisia, of course, made famous by the so-called Arab Spring, which Mouad Abzizi, who burned himself in Tunisia. Was that?
Yeah.
So it's been downhill since then, as the Arab Spring was hijacked by Washington proxies and mass Washington money, arguably. Is there many opposition parties in this country, in Tunisia? It's a beautiful country.
Doesn't seem to be. I think it's very much the incumbent is going to be in power and no real election, according to what we're hearing over there. But if you're over in Tunisia, do let us know how it's panning out there.
This guy has signed a deal with the European Union worth 900 million euros in financial aid in return for preventing refugees from crossing to Europe, because the British, American, French destruction of Libya meant refugees escaping Africa's previously richest per capita country into Tunisia, and people are drowning in their masses. How many thousands have been drowning because there's no legal safe way to claim asylum in Western European countries? And so he's been doing appalling things to refugees in his country. And his economic growth has fallen massively in Tunisia. And he's been cracking down on people. He's fans of the European Union. It's a bit of a disaster, really. But then it's better now than under Ben Ali, the previous NATO-backed dictator, clearly.
Yeah, well, as say people in Tunisia can tell us, but apparently undemocratic election. But then in Kazakhstan on Sunday, there's going to be a referendum on whether to build a nuclear power plant there. Seemingly a strange thing to have a referendum over, but perhaps is this democracy at its finest over in Kazakhstan, to be honest?
Always in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan must be a good country because that Zionist CIA-linked character, Sacha Baron Cohen, tried to destroy its reputation, didn't he?
With that movie?
Yeah, he was linked to the CIA, Sacha Baron Cohen, in making that movie, because if you notice, all Sacha Baron Cohen's work is pro-Israel, pro-Zionist, pro-genocide, and he was using Kazakhstan there deliberately because Kazakhstan is not playing ball with the Israeli system. You're going to mention all those elections, Brazil municipal ones, Supreme Court, Bosnia and Herzegovina, local elections, Bosnia and NATO proxy.
There's many. Well, as we know, it's election year. But
the big thing on Sunday, the 6th of October this year, is it's the anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, which you no doubt know all about. That's what the Israelis call it. The Fourth Arab-Israeli War in 1973, Egypt and Syria finally attacking the US-backed Israeli Zionist entity, will by Sunday, October the 6th, this week, will there be a united Arab response to the invasion of Lebanon? Will there be?
Well, we'll have to find out. Tune in next week and might have some more info, but we better leave it there. Thank you very much for watching or listening. As always, we're on YouTube, Spotify, X, or all the podcasting platforms. Please leave us a comment, subscribe, turn on the notification bell so you get notified when we get a new episode come out. But let us know, of course, what you think of these events. But until next week, bye for now, and we'll see you next week.
Subscribe.